Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to the third episode of Bar Chords, a podcast by guitar nerds. I am your host, Joe Branton, and, well, this is going to be a half hour of some high-level guitar nerdery. I like to think it's high-level guitar nerdery as opposed to, you know, the chatter of the main podcast. So last week I tried out doing sound samples for the first time ever, and I asked for people's feedback, and you know, relatively speaking, you seem like you wanted to hear more pedals, which more things, more gear, which is great, because really we have the mailbag section on the main podcast where we just talk about gear. So what a fantastic opportunity Bar Chords offers to be able to actually listen to some of that gear. Now, I'm not going to be 100% sure how much is too much. How much is too much sound sample-age per episode? I don't know, because it's going to vary, I suppose, for what we got sent, for what we get sent each week. Now, if you listen to the main episode this week, we got sent a couple of things. We got sent a pair of pedals from Farm Pedals, a very cool company that actually run a vegetable farm out in Maine. I've no idea where Maine is in the US of A, but there, they obviously a place of great farming. Anyway, they've sent me a couple of their pedals, gorgeous sort of hand finished boutique pedals. So we've got a couple of those, and also Anna Sounds. We've had something through from Anna Sounds, the French pedal manufacturer. Now, if we would start with Anna Sounds, they've sent through the Anna Sounds Elements, which we've spoken about on the podcast, and of course it came out some time ago. I think it maybe came out at Winter NAMM, or I tell you what, the first time I think I saw them was at the Birmingham UK Guitar Show. I can't remember what that one's called, the Guitar Show or something. I tell you what, guitar show names in the UK are rubbish. I wish they were more interesting, like the fiery death guitar just an interesting name rather than the guitar show. That just seems a bit boring. Anyway, so the Anna Sounds Elements I think came out then, which is a controller pedal that then has a real spring, and it comes in three sizes. You get three different size springs, so they're going to impact on how crazy you can make that reverb, depending on how large they are. Now, we've been sent the Le Brut, which I said was the medium-sized one. I think it might be the smallest one. I really should check. I guess that's what I'm supposed to be doing here. Anyway, so we got sent the Le Brut spring reverb, and it's really interesting, because the controls on the Elements, the controller for this, they have a low and a high, so you've got kind of a two-band EQ with which to affect the way the global EQ of the reverb itself, and then you've got a mix, and you've got an output as well, so you can kind of balance how crazy the reverb is going to be, how much it's going to overtake your clean signal. All very useful, very sensible controls for a real spring reverb. And the addition is they've got this other little saturation toggle. I don't know if they have a name for that. Oh, the toggle's in there. Yeah, it's just spring saturation. A spring saturation toggle. So essentially what you have there is usable reverb and absolutely bonkers, crazy, out of this world soundscapey reverb, which also kind of the saturation is very drivey, very drivey. So not like not a traditional, not traditional, but you know, there's this trend at the moment, this sort of Strymon esque style reverb. Everyone's using the you know, the upper octaves, the shimmery, almost forgot the name Shimmer there for a minute, you know, that sort of octo reverb it's called on Line 6, or Shimmer I guess is what sort of everyone else is calling it. That sort of really wildly oversaturated octaves all over the place reverb is becoming quite popular in the sort of shoegazy post-rock, that sort of area. This, you know, I was thinking, well, maybe I can do something like this. This is a totally different beast, because of course with the saturation also comes a heck of a lot of drive, so it's a real it's a really different beast, which I was very pleased by, you know, because if it just sounded like a digital you know, reverb, I'm not obviously suggesting that a spring tank would sound like a Shimmer, but you know what I mean, I just mean if it just sounded like a big sounding reverb, I'm not sure, you know, past the gimmick of having a real spring, there wouldn't be a lot of point in the extra pedal board real estate that this is going to take up. Although admittedly, you can definitely fasten this. You could put this underneath your pedal board. Anyway, it's a completely different thing. I think let's listen to some sounds. Let's listen to some sounds. We're like 6 minutes into this podcast. We should listen to some sounds. Now, one of the cool things, I tell you what, I love the way Anna Sounds send their stuff through. The boxes, oh, you know, the gorgeous sort of bamboo tops and the artwork, everything about them. Our presentation from Anna Sounds is absolutely on point. Anyway, the little booklet you get from Anna Sounds gives you a couple of Le Réglage du Chef. I don't know what that means. I assume it means preset style thing. So it gives you a couple of suggestions for sounds. So the first one, and I've used both of these, by the way, on the sound samples we're gonna hear. So the first one is called Cowboy. Now this was this is a very usable sound. So we have the output on full, so we've definitely got like all of our clean signal coming through. The mix is a bit over halfway, so it's plenty splashy. Lows in the middle, and we're just boosting the highs about the same as the mix, and it creates a really gorgeous, lush sounding reverb. I thought it was very, very good. Now, for this week, and I'll also take opinions on this, because I have a few ways. I wasn't 100%, so, well, I thought it was good. So so how we've recorded these sound samples this week, I decided to use the Fender American Original Stratocaster aforementioned on episode 1 of Bar Chords. I've used that, and I'm running that into a Line 6 Helix. Now for this particular setting, what I've gone for is the AC30 head amp sim, and then what I've done is plugged the elements into the effects return and run it after the head, and I'm running that out into what Line 6 call the 1x12 Bluebell, which is essentially an open back AC15. I know that's a bit of an unusual one. I just really like the sound of that. Now, Line 6 also offer you a load of options on sort of mic distance and types, where they, you know, essentially it's kind of just subtle EQ changes. So for the sake of this, I've done everything on a 57 sim, just because I thought it was pretty straight up. Now, this is obviously a digital replication. I was pretty happy with how everything sounded, but I would like your feedback, because of course I do perfectly well have the option of miking up a real amplifier and doing it through that. I certainly did want to take advantage of my of the 4-watt Davis amp that we have here at some point, but I thought I'd see if this worked, and I was very happy with the results. So here we are. This is Cowboy going through an American original Strat into an AC30 head, followed by the Elements, and then out into an AC15 style open back 112. Oh, see? I mean, that is, it's a great sounding reverb. That's a fantastic, super splashy, lovely, very usable style reverb. And of course, if we were dealing with a normal reverb tank in something, in like a Fender or something like that, that would be all she wrote, which is very good. That's I'd say, you know, how you're going to use your reverb a good portion of the time. But this does a whole lot more. So the second preset that Anna Sounds have put in their book is the ambient leads, which requires me to flick the switch. So I've got that saturation control on. I'm going to be cutting some of the high end, boosting the lows. I've got the mix at about 3/4 and the output right down at just sort of one quarter. What's 1/4 on a clock? 9? Is it 9 o'clock? Yeah, why not? 9, 10. Yeah, 9 o'clock. So yeah, we've got it. We've got it there. And this was absolutely outrageous. So outrageous, in fact, that I changed the amp from the AC30 to a Jazz Chorus style head because I just needed something a little bit cleaner. Retrospectively, maybe I should have used the 212 for this as well. But I was really happy with the crazy sounds we were getting. Let's have a listen to that. Absolute madness. I love that it can do both things. I love that you can kick it and it will make a crazy sort of whoosh sound. I imagine, and of course these sound samples, maybe I should do some in situ. Maybe next week I'll do some where I'm like, oh, here's an application for this. Because basically what I'm doing is just giving you demos of the pedal itself. Whereas I was kind of like, when I was doing it, I was like, man, this would sound great running this sort of thing into like a looper or a tape echo, especially, you know, like kicking the reverb and getting that sort of splashy sound and sort of sampling that up and using it. You could do some really interesting soundscape style things with this pedal. I thought it was so much fun, and kind of just had that you know when you feel like you're playing quality, like when you plug in something like a Hudson Electronics Broadcast or a Game Changer Plus pedal, you feel like you've tapped into some really super exclusive, high-end, awesome part of the guitar world. And I feel that about this. I'm like, this is one of those things. If you had an Origin effects compressor, a Hudson Electronics Broadcast, one of these Anna Sounds Elements, and a Game Changer Plus pedal, that would be a wicked little setup, wouldn't it? That would be like the best of the best. But yes, I also tried a couple of other things. So here is me trying like a fully saturated sound just to see how sort of ethereal I could make it in a, you know, sort of a, maybe a slightly more trad sense. I thought this was fun. We'll be right back. there you have it. The Amazon's Elements. That was the Le Brute, which you can buy. You can actually get it in a bundle with the Elements pedal, which obviously you need to run it. But you can get that on the Anasounds website, anasounds.com, for €279. A very, very cool pedal as well. The other ones that they offer are Le Bon, which you can also get in a bundle. Le Bon is the smaller one. So I guess that probably does more of just the traditional sounds, and that's just €207. And the large one is Le Trode. I don't know how you pronounce that, which is €249 euros with the Elements pedal. Do you know what's interesting? They actually do the premium bundle, which is all three sizes, which is quite cool. But you can get, yeah, all three sizes for like, it looks like 290 squid, which... that seems very reasonable for all three of them, but very cool. What a cool bunch of pedals. Anyway, I do want to fit these farm things in. I want to get these farm things in, but I feel like I want to do something that's not a sound sample for a minute. So let's talk about guitars for a bit, because I want to stay on effects for the whole thing. I'm not that night. So obviously Vintera is the new Fender range of guitars, talk of the town at the moment. It seems to be picking up, you know, largely positive reviews, a little bit of negativity because of course it's the end of the Baja Telecaster. It's not the end of the Baja Telecaster, it's just the Baja Telecaster is now called the Vintera, has a slightly different neck profile, and I think it's a little bit more money, but you know, all things, you know, go up, I guess, with rebrands. But that kind of brings us back round to talking about all the bits and bobs and the guitars that I have here. I used the American original Stratocaster, which we spoke about on episode one. I used that for the sound samples. I really wanted to use the Baja Telecaster, but it was so noisy. I tell you what, I set up at my computer, at my desk, with everything plugged in, and I was like, right, I'll record and start playing. And the digital interference I was getting from the Telecaster being close to the laptop was absolutely mad. So I sort of, you know, relocated everything to be further away, and it was still there. I changed over to the Strat, and it was substantially better. And I kind of, like, I tell you what, I prefer the sound of the Baja, because actually when I was, you know, before I was trying to record everything, I was just plugging these pedals in. I used the Baja Telecaster and a Boss Katana 50, like the ultimate guitar nerd's setup. Do you have yours? But I was so happy with the sound, of both the farm pedals and the Elements in that little setup. And I found myself sort of struggling to replicate that a little bit with the Stratocaster. The Baja is a blooming good guitar. It was just, you know, it was a lot of interference, a real lot of interference. I know I've got that Gibson ES-175, but I really don't think a great big-bodied jazz guitar with half-round strings on there is a great idea as to sort of show you what pedals sound like. So I wasn't going to use that. But yeah, I put up recently on the Instagram about, you know, which should I sell, the Strat or the Telecaster? The reason being, of course, listener, if you're an experienced guitar nerds listener, you'll know that I've gone full time with this. And I
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm making about a third of what I was before, so I'm very poor, and I was like, I despite being very poor, went and purchased two Music Master basses recently, and I still owed my girlfriend some money for the 1969 Fender Precision bass. Very lucky to date a musician, because she's very understanding when it comes to me splurging money on unnecessary instruments instead of paying her the correct amount of rent. But so I was thinking I could sell the Strat, because the American original is a fair old chunk of money. I could probably get a decent sort of I don't know what are they, 1300 new, so I don't know, eight, is that right? Eight, something like that. It would help. So I was thinking I could sell the American original. Well, I was thinking, what do I sell, the Strat or the Tele? I did go through a period of being really into Strats. I had three. I had one of the classic Strats, what has essentially become the Vintera Standard. As Jay said on the regular episode, there's Vintera Standard and Vintera Mod. So I had a Sonic Blue, a Daphne Blue. I think it was Daphne Blue, maple neck 50s classic Stratocaster. Oh, V-neck, 7.25 inch radius. Oh, everything was wonderful. What a wonderful guitar. Retrospectively, I preferred it to the 60s American original sort of sound-wise, although I might just be remembering that in a sort of glorified sense. But maybe it's just that I prefer 50s Strats to 60s things, which is weird, because I tend to like the overall aesthetic of 60s. Do you have that, listener? Join the discussion on Facebook, facebook.com/guitar nerds forum. Do you find yourself led to like a specific decade aesthetic? You know, if I was presented with a 50s style anything and a 60s style version of the same thing, I mean, generally speaking, what we're talking about here is Fenders, I guess, across the board. You know, if there was a really specific aesthetic difference between 50s and 60s instruments, but you know, if I was presented with a 50 Strat, so something with like a maple neck, a thin scratch plate, and just those simpler, I guess bolder, brighter sort of 50s colors, surf colors a lot of the time, if I was presented with that, and I was also presented with something 60s, so you know, a lot of the time, and I'm not talking about Strats now, I just mean guitars and basses in general, you know, you would get bound necks, block inlays, binding, rosewood necks, and three ply plates, and generally speaking, darker colors, metallic colors, candy apple reds and sunbursts and, you know, things like that. I'm just so much more drawn to that. But I think sound-wise, I certainly prefer the sound of a 50s Strat. And I guess I prefer the sound of a 50s Telecaster as well. I, however, definitely prefer the sound of a 60s-style P-bass to a 50s-style P-bass. But I guess it can be different for guitars and basses. Anyway, so the third Strat that I got was a Roadworn. I'm going to miss that series. Are you? I'm going to miss that series a lot. I was very into the thin actual proper lacquer. I tell you what, I don't like poly finishes. I'm a real sucker for a nitro finish. Really, really am. And Roadworn ones were fantastic. Oh, there you go. Just had a heavy burtation. But they were absolutely fantastic. And I got one of the 50s Roadworn Strats in Sunburst. And the neck was great. The neck was great. I understand Fender discontinuing this line, because they were so good. Those necks felt like custom shop necks. They really, really did. That gorgeous sort of rubbed You know, sort of when gloss is rubbed, rather than when something's just made a matte neck. When you get those modern matte necks, I can't help but feel so often that they just feel a bit cheap. You know, the sort of Fendery style ones. Loads of brands do them. That modern, you know, sort of just the wood neck. It just feels like they haven't finished the instrument. I love a gloss neck. I know it's slower, but oh my goodness, if you have to get an instrument to have like, you know, extra features to help you play better, you should probably just spend more time playing. Unnecessarily rude of me, but and just that feel of like a rubbed down gloss neck is really, it really is a very specific thing. I'm very big fan of that Robe One. But again, I needed to pay for other things, so I got rid of both of those, kept the American original. Oh. Retrospectively, I feel like I've made a mistake, because now I'm in this position where I'm like, oh, the Baja Telecaster is an absolutely fantastic instrument. Do you think I buy too much Fender? You know, I only own one Gibson. I sold my other Gibson, which was a Gold Top ES Les Paul bass. Yes, it's a very, very specific instrument. I play it on the demo video on YouTube for Boss's Dimension Chorus. Jay, who is Matt's boss, I guess. He's sort of King Boss. I don't know his official title, but he's like the King of Boss now. And we all met Jay. This is not Jay Cross. Sorry, there's another Jay. Jay Dorr, who is Matt's boss. We met Jay years ago when he was just, you know, like a rep for Boss, and we were all working in GAK, and he was fantastic, very good with the company card when he had to take us out for business related things. Always a pleasure. Anyway, now he's like King Boss, and he wanted me to do this video, but he's got this thing, right? He doesn't like weird instruments, because he thinks that whenever they're shooting a video or a demo of something, Boss is such a standard, you know, and he wants it to become not niche, he wants it to become something that's on every board, that, you know, which they are. But that's how he views this equipment. It's like, this is an every person's piece of equipment, therefore you need to play something that's in every person's guitar. Whenever he does bass demos, he doesn't let bass players bring weird instruments. I think this might have been something that was introduced after I turned up with the Stonefield to the Boss MS3 shoot. Anyway, so he was like, yeah, make sure you bring something normal. And I turned up with a Gold Top, short scale, hollow bodied Les Paul bass. I think it was the last time they actually employed me as well. So, burnt that bridge, I guess. Goodness gracious me, we are fast approaching time on this, the third episode of Bar Chords. And I really do want to do these sound samples for Farm pedals. I thought they're a really interesting brand and really cool pedals. Tell me if this is too much sound sampling, though. If you'd rather I kept it down a little bit, I'm more than happy to. Facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. Or if you're on the Patreon, let me know on there. Or heck, you know, I pretty much accept all friends requests anyway, so you know, you can always hunt me down. Anyway, so the two things that I've got from Farm Pedals. First of all, we've got the Sweet Leaf Fuzz. Now, as we mentioned on the regular episode, this is a completely controlless fuzz pedal. You've just got an on and off. Now, there is an internal dip switch where we can adjust the output. I didn't do that. I just wanted to hear it as it was. So here it is. Now, again, I'm using the Helix for this. Maybe I should. Tell me what you think. Should I do this properly? I was quite happy with the sound, with the sound of these. But tell me what you think. Anyway, so the Sweet Leaf. I changed the cab up. I'm using an orange 4x12. I thought a big fuzz was, you know, it was far more suited to a super large cab. However, there is so much ridiculous gain on this fuzz pedal that I really wanted to demonstrate how much there is. So for the amp side of things, I'm again using a Roland Jazz Chorus. Now, there's a little bit of clean playing at the start of this clip because I wanted to show you the level difference between these. I'll do my best, but you just might have to guard your headphones here. Outrageous. I think it's a super cool pedal once you've kind of tailored the internals. I really think you do need to tailor your internals. Like, that would be too loud for me to use in a normal rig, but that's not to say that you couldn't adjust it on the internals. And then I kind of like that there's no controls to knock or anything like that. It's certainly a fantastic, like, super fuzz. It's not for the faint of heart at all. I thought it responded quite well to volume rolling on your guitar, but far better on the Tele than the Strat. So I didn't bother capturing any of that. As absolutely mad as that was, I think a fantastic fuzz pedal if you just want something a bit crazy. Now, the second one I really was really, really into. So the second one is the Boost of the Dead, which, of course, is more of a make gooder than a boost. So this has two foot switches and one rotary control. The rotary control is, of course, the level of the boost. One side is a boost. The other side is a preamp, which is just warming up the sound ever so slightly. I found that there was no situation where I wanted to have the preamp side of things off. Once again, I thought this benefited from being used with a clean amp. I was happier with this when I was just running straight into a Katana, but I think that's not an aspersion on the Helix. That was me maybe not quite finding the right patch for that. So I tried a few different things for this, and this was the one I was most happy with. So I changed the settings up again, and now I'm using a Fender Deluxe, and I've moved to a 212 open back Vox style cab for this. Again, I'm going to be clean. There are going to be two clicks in this playing. One is me turning on the boost, the other side is me adding the preamp underneath. But I think overall, as a make gooder, as something to really filth up your tone, you know, if you've got a clean amp, or something to just push you over the edge if you've got a drive amp, I was a big fan of this. I think it's very cool. So that was the Farm Pedals Boost of the Dead. And before that, the Farm Pedals Sweetly Fuzz. I thought they were absolutely fantastic. The three really awesome things for us to get to have a mess around on. Now, of course, last week we got that that Telecoustic from Yamaha, and I'm thinking about doing some more things with that as well. So watch this space for that sort of thing. Next week I'm going to be showing you the Keeley Synth 1. I really want to give that a go on here. And I guess it depends what else we get sent in the meantime. I tell you what, I really want to talk about some of my girlfriend's gear, because she has got some wicked, really odd guitars that I've mentioned a few times on the podcast, but it's been a while. And, you know, it's all about recycling the same content over here on the at Guitar Nerds. Yeah, next week I really want to talk about that, because she's got an absolutely bonkers Telecaster, thin line Telecaster with a cello headstock, a custom made affair that is just absolutely really, really weird. Now, all of this gear I'm posting on Instagram, so instagram.com Why am I saying Instagram.com? Just @guitarnerds. You can also see it on Twitter @guitarnerds. And, you know, if you want more of this stuff, join us on Patreon, patreon.com/guitarnerds. I want your feedback. This podcast is more about your feedback than the other one with those other three stubborn men. You know, we can change things up depending on what you want. So join the discussion on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/guitarnerdsforum. What do you reckon that is? 3-4 plugs for the Facebook group in this one. Is that too much? Am I doing too much? Anyway, that's it for this week's episode of Bar Chords. We'll be back on the regular episode next Wednesday and the fourth episode of Bar Chords next Friday. See you then.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.